walk with Jesus, I can think of nothing better to do. Hallelujah. There's no greater love that anyone has ever had for me other than the Lord. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, and you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you to do. Amen. So loving Jesus has some stipulations to it. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one that's here. Praise the Lord. Amen. And as we get into the Bible study, let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Let's ask the Lord to have his glorious way in this service tonight, just to touch each one of our hearts, each one of our minds. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask today, dear God, that you would help us tonight, Lord, as we come into your presence, dear God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to open our minds, that we can, Lord, understand what your perfect will for our individual lives are this evening. Hallelujah, Lord, as we give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you thanks. There's none higher to praise than Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see you all here tonight. Amen. It's good to be in Bible study. Amen. Amen. The Bible gives us such a wondrous privilege to be able to study his word. We don't have to worry about waiting for somebody to bring it to us. We have the opportunity that we can set it home. We can open our word of God, and we can let the Lord talk to us in our homes individually. Amen. I think sometimes we miss the point is that God loves us collectively, but he wants us to serve him individually. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we have a privilege today that we can study the word of God. Amen. And I'm just going to give a little definition of what study means. When I was in school, I didn't care much for it. Amen. I had the opportunity. Yeah, you can be seated if you want. I'll have you stand at the reading of the word in a minute. get some exercise here. Praise the Lord. But amen. As I when I was in school, I had the privilege of selecting my classes, and I always had a study hall at the very first. When I walked in the door, I went right straight to a study hall and I studied because that was my study time. And then I used my lunch time to study for the afternoon if I needed to. You know, I've come a long way since then. Amen. I enjoy studying. But I really didn't enjoy studying the classes that they told me I had to. But you see, I've fallen in love with something, and so I love to study the Word of God. Amen. And so tonight, in 2 Timothy, if you'll stand with me just briefly, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Amen. And it simply states this: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there are a lot of things out there that say, well, I think the word of God says this, I think the word of God says that, I think it means something else. I don't think it means the same thing that it meant 20 years ago. I don't think it means the same thing that it meant 100 years ago. But my Bible says that it never changed. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word is God. So it's not going to change. It's infallible. It's good enough for me today. It was good enough for Paul and Silas and the apostles in their day, and it hasn't changed any. So God doesn't have to make a new set of rules to judge me by, because they're already established. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. And as we study the Word, we have to study it with that in mind, that we can't write our own definition. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've got a privilege today to study and to be what God and search what God wants us to be. We have the opportunity today to be an individual in the kingdom of God. Amen. We don't have to be everybody the same. The Bible gives us each one an opportunity to be something for Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we haven't always had that ability, because back in 1300s and the 1400s and the 1500s, people didn't have a written word that they could study. That's why it got so corrupted in those times, because they relied on some man to read it and to interpret it in his own interpretation. Amen. And the Word of God has suffered such a dramatic time in its course. Amen. Men have given their lives so that you can read what you have today. Men have died. Hallelujah. Amen. One man, if you wanted to go to Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs of the Old World, it gives us a great detail of the accounts of what it took to bring the written Word of God to you and I. Amen. There were people that were willing to die so that you could read God's Word for yourself. And ironically, it was the religious culture that was doing the killing of the ones that were doing the writing, because they didn't want the normal person to know what the Word of God said for themselves, because then they might grow a brain and be able to serve God or question what they said. Amen. And so William Tyndale, amen, on October 6, 1536, in Fulford, Brussels, and it's said Fulford, but it's spelled Volford. William Tyndale was executed by strangulation because he translated the New Testament into English, took it to the printers, had it printed, and was having it brought into England so that the average person could read it. He was strangled, and then after he was strangled, he was burned at the stake. All because he wanted you and I to be able to study the Word of God. All because he had a love for God to share God's love with those around him. Study. Amen. What does it mean to you to study? What does it actually entail? Amen. We each one, we're such individuals that sometimes we have to be careful of our study habits. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's easy to get sidetracked and to not make time to read the Word of God. Well, I'll go to church on Sunday, and Brother Johnson, he'll preach the Word to me, and I'll get my study time in then. Amen. It's easy to put it off on somebody else, but keeping in mind that we have such an account ability to those that have died so that we can read the Word of God. Not to mention the fact is that the Lord wants us to. Not to mention the fact is He loves us so greatly that He wants us to read the Word of God so that we can love Him as much as He loves us. Think about it. God wants us to love Him as much as He loves us. I don't know if you've ever took just a moment to think about it and to wonder about it. Is it, what draws God so dramatically to us? Why? I looked at my life before I started serving the Lord, and I could not figure out why God loved me so much that He would call me out of the mess that I was in, that He would call me out of alcoholism, that He would call me out of the drug scene that I was in, that He called me out of nicotine addiction of cigarettes that I had. I could not figure out why God loved me so much that He would take time to change the course of my life. Now think about it. You're not here by accident. You're here because God called you to be here. If you're here, if you would be here for the first time, God preordained you to be sitting in the seat that you're sitting in tonight. There is no accidents with God. Everything is done with purpose. Everyone that's here that's going to serve Him, that it, regardless of where you come from, you're here with purpose. I can look back in my life and I can see how God kept me from certain things that I was running towards, but something happened and I would turn around and go the other way. I can look back and see how God dictated the course of my life before I knew Him to get me to where I am. And I think if we're all honest, we could all say, I can look back at a certain time in my life and I can see where God kept me from going in this direction and brought me back to this direction. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we have such a obligation, if you will, because God has called us here to find out how much He loves us. Study to show thyself approved. The Bible says in St. John 5:39, it says, search the scriptures. God has given us a command. He's given us a challenge. You know, how many like challenges? Like a challenge? Not really. No? Not really, yeah. Huh? Like a challenge? God has challenged us to search the scriptures. He's challenged you as an individual and us collectively as a group to search the scriptures. Why? Because He says, for in them ye think. And Jesus is saying this here. This isn't coming from somebody else. Jesus is saying this. If you have in your Bible, if you look at it, you'll see that it's in red letters. It's what Jesus said to those that were around Him. He's telling us, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's a pretty plain and pretty deliberate, isn't it? I remember years ago I was on in one of the plants that I was over, amen, and we had a steam boiler. And it was wood-fired, and I would go through and I would look in the glass to make sure everything was functioning like it is, because if it needed cleaned, you'd have to shut it down and rod the tubes and all this and that stuff. My wife tells me I get too in-depth and it's just boring stuff. And it probably is, but to me it's not. You know. Praise the Lord. But I'd look in the glass, in the sight glass, and when it wasn't fired, you could literally look in the glass and you could see the flames, the heat of the flame. You wouldn't see the flame, it would be just the heat of the flame rising up and just spinning around and back down and rising up. Amen. And I remember having an individual with me, and I was trying to get him to come to church, and I called him by name and said, hey, come over here and look in this glass. I said, you want to see what the lake of fire could possibly look like? I said, look in this glass. The heat is rolling in just such a manner. You could feel the heat just billowing out. And he looked at me dead serious, and he says, Bob, I don't need to look in there. I'm not going to hell. Oh. I mean, just blatant. I said, you're not. I said, well, that's good. I said, how did you come to that conclusion? He said, because when I was little, my grandma told me that if I just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I was going to heaven and I don't have to do anything else. And I said, well, where's that scripture? He said, I don't know. My grandma told me, and that's all I need to know. She said, if I didn't know, I wouldn't be held accountable, so I'm just not going to know. And you know, there's people out there that believe that I'm not going to be held accountable to the scripture because I choose to be ignorant. But just in the fact is that you say, I choose not to know, you are being judged because you could know. And so if you can know, you should know. So the Bible, Jesus challenges us, search. Hello there, people. I know we got some folks here that like metal detecting, you know, and you go out and you pick a spot and you got your metal detector and you can spend a day finding nothing. Yes, I have a metal detector. Yes, I've spent days finding nothing. But it's the search that gets you. And it should be the same way in the Word of God. Should be the same way in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so when we start to think about all these things, and we start to think, what can I absorb tonight? What can I absorb today? What can I take home and where can I continue from tonight for tomorrow? What scriptures can I take from here tonight that I can go home tomorrow and expand on? Study to show thyself approved. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to go to a book that many people seem to avoid because I've heard many people say, well, it's just a recap of what's happened. And so I want to go to Deuteronomy. Amen. And I want to teach out of there for just a little bit. Amen. It's a recap, yes it is, of Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus. But it has a very solid purpose. And so I want to share with us before we go in that Moses' purpose here wasn't just to reiterate everything. But Moses, when he went through and began to pen and speak the book of Deuteronomy into existence, was because he was standing before a group of people that had never lived in a city, that had never seen Egypt, that did not see the crossing of the Red Sea, that did not know how to live among people. They didn't know how to live in a city at all, because he's talking to a generation that was raised in the wilderness. They were not raised around people with other gods. They were not raised around people that had other influences than they had. They were kept in a very close-knit family. Man, they were kept within their tribes. And so Moses is reiterating in Deuteronomy because he is so caring of these people that he wants them to get it. Because, you see, God has already told him he is not going to go into the promised land. Sometimes in rereading all of this, I think God was being merciful to Moses, because we all know that when they went in, they went against the walls of Jericho and they all came down and they was victorious and everything. And then here along comes Achan. Achan did something he never had presented to him in his lifetime. He's seen a Babylonian garment. He's seen a wedge of gold. He's seen some silver. And he was tempted to take it, and he took it, and he hid it into his tent. He had never faced that before in his life. Moses knew that those temptations would be coming. And so he wanted, before he left, before God took him out, he wanted to go over all of this stuff again so that they would have something to remember. And so when you read the book of Deuteronomy, yeah, you can say, well, I read that in Numbers. Yeah, okay. Well, I read that in Leviticus. Yeah, okay. But keep in mind that Moses is talking to a group of people that had never lived outside of the wilderness. And they were about to go into the cities. They were about to go into civilization, if you will. And he wanted them to be totally prepared for whatever they went against, even though they weren't. You know, Moses even went to the point in about the 20th chapter, somewhere in that area, I could get it for you if you wanted, but he went even to the point where he said, when you are established as a nation, and when you look around at the kingdoms around you and you desire to have a king, no nation, there was no king, there was nothing. Moses was speaking off into the future. When you get to this point, this one thing that every king must do, they need to write their own personal script of the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they had to keep that with them in their throne and read it daily. Now, they weren't allowed to just write it any old way. They had to write it under the supervision of the priest. The priest had to look at every word and make sure that every word was exact, that all the punctuation was exact. And guess what the first king of Israel did? He forgot what he had written. And so that's why it's so important to study. Hallelujah. So Moses is trying to equip people. But if you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, I want to read verses 4 through 9. And I want to take this and I want to connect this at the end to something in the New Testament. Hallelujah. The fourth verse says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." That verse has always bugged me. So, what do you mean it's always bugged you? Well, maybe it's just my finite mind. Maybe it's just me. But I'm trying to figure out what Moses is trying to say here. Look at it. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." So is he just trying to say that the Lord is one? Or is there another message somewhere in this message? Because if he was just saying that the Lord our God is one, that's all he had to say. He didn't have to say the Lord our God is one Lord. If he was only trying to communicate that God was one, he didn't have to put the extra words in. Now, I'm just that type that gets bugged about stuff. And when I get bugged about stuff, my wife will tell you, and she'll tell you, he is a walking encyclopedia of worthless stuff. I mean, I've been in Sam's Club, and back when I was the director of engineering here at a local RV company, I was in Sam's Club, and I just went through a meeting with Samsung, with Sony, and some of the other TV manufacturers, getting all of the information about what TV is best, so I know what TV to put in, what unit for what customer. And so I was standing at Sam's Club, and I was looking at them, and I'd walk over. My wife was off shopping somewhere else, and I was looking at them because I was intrigued. And all of a sudden, this gentleman walked up to me, and he says, "Man, with all of these TVs, how do you know which one's the right one?" Wrong question to ask me. I turned to him and I said, "Well, what exactly is it that you're after? Are you after internet connectivity? Are you wanting to stream? What do you want? Are you more interested about the picture?" Because at this time, Sony had just introduced their new TV, which was, you know, normally, and you're not going to want to hear all this, but normally it's red, green, blue, surrounded by black. And that's the color pixels. Well, Sony had introduced a yellow. And so I said, "Are you interested in bright, vibrant color? Because this Sony over here is a new Aquis, and they just introduced the red, blue, green, yellow." He stood back and he looked at me and said, "What are you, a salesman or something?" I said, "No." I said, "You ask a question. I'm just trying to answer it. You know, I don't mean to be obnoxious. But don't ask me a question if you don't want to know all of the answer." Praise the Lord. So I've been bugged by this, so we'll get back to this first scripture. Because it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Verse 6 says, "And these words which I command thee," command. It's not optional equipment. It's not something you can choose to do or not to do. It's something that and every time that they put a command in there means that it is necessary to do in the kingdom of God. So you're to love the Lord with every fiber of you. There's three things. So you're to love the Lord with all your heart. That's the part that, you know, you see the guy walking across to the girl. I like them. Your heart. Your heart influences you. With all of your soul, that's the part that God gives you, and with all of your might, with your strength, everything that you have. So we're to love the Lord that way. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Again, studies coming into the mode here. Parents, you're to teach your children. They're going to learn something from someone, so they might as well learn it from you. You're not supposed to be their best friend. You're supposed to be their parent. You know, and that's something that gets lost in our society these days. Amen. So he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse 8 says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Praise the Lord. A Jewish practice is where they would recite these very scriptures twice a day, and they would cover their eyes. They would cover their eyes because if the human eye, we see things that may distract us. And so they covered their eyes when they would say this so that they wouldn't be distracted by anything and they wouldn't mind wander off over here and over there, because they need to know that God's word is infinite and God's word is precise. Amen. And so they would walk around twice a day. Can you imagine teaching your children? Walk around, cover your eyes, and recite these verses twice a day so you don't forget them. So you don't forget them. So they become a part of you. They become a part of your soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so they would cover their eyes to acknowledge that God is in unity and beyond their perception and their understanding. God is above us. Hallelujah. But here, I'm going to go back to my first point, because I just got to get back to that. Because I got the answer. It excites me. I know why Moses said that. I know why Moses drilled it in that thou hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I know why the second Lord is there. And you have to go back to the Hebrew to understand it all. Because in Hebrew it says, Shema Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. Which is the same thing. But Adonai is the word we need to focus on. Adonai is the word that the Jewish people put in for Lord. And Adonai is not one word. Adonai is made up of three Hebrew words, and it's spelled YHVH. And so they translated it into Adonai. But what it really means, what Adonai means, is that he's the God of our past, he's the God of our present, and he's the God of our future. I never knew that until I studied it out. Hear, O Israel, our past, present, and future. Our God is our past, present, and future. You can't get around him. You can't get around him. Why is it that it got to the point where the Jewish scholars were so upset at the apostles? Why is it that they take such an offense when you read Hebrews? And it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's because they're saying Jesus Christ is Lord, Adonai. And it infuriates them because you bring the Old Testament, you connect it to the New, and the apostles told the church that Jesus is Lord of yesterday, today, and the future. Hallelujah. And so we got something to be happy about. Amen. We got something to celebrate. Because Moses didn't just say that the Lord our God is one. He went on before and he said, the Lord our God is our past. The Lord our God is our present. The Lord our God is our future. And you can't get around him. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O church. The Lord our God is one. He's not two. He's not three. He's not four. He's not what you want it to be. Hallelujah. I don't care if you live in a woke community. God is still going to be God. And you can't get away from him. Hallelujah. So Moses wanted the children of Israel to realize the same way that the apostles want us to realize that Jesus and Adonai are the same. That's why Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's why Jesus could say, I come in my Father's name. I come in his name. I come representing him. He may be the human part of God that we can have seen, but the fact of the matter is, he's still eternal. He's still the eternal God. He's still the one that Moses preached. He's the one that Noah was holding on to. He's the one that Paul, who was Saul, preached. My Lord, we have such a witness when we get right into it. And I never would have made the connection had I not went back to the original Hebrew and read Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Eshad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Adonai our Lord, Eloheinu our God, Adonai our Lord. You can't get around him. You can't get away from him. Hallelujah. He's there. He's established forever. Hallelujah. He is here for you and me. Jesus, come and he fulfilled. The Bible says that he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. Amen. The law has been fulfilled. If you have the Holy Ghost here tonight, if you want the Holy Ghost, you can fulfill the law in yourself by receiving the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ. The Bible says the hope of glory. Just Christ in you, the hope of glory. How much clearer can these things be? It doesn't matter what grandma said. Doesn't matter what grandpa said, or Uncle Ed, or Bessie, or what your teacher in grade school said. You know, there we got teachers trying to prance our children around and dressing our little boys up like little girls and our little girls up like little boys and saying, that's okay, I'm your teacher, I have a right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I don't buy that junk. I don't buy that junk. That's straight from the pits of Satan himself. You know, Satan is a liar. The Bible says Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. In other words, he invented the very first lie. What lie did he invent? He lied to himself. Satan said, I will ascend my throne above the Most High. Lie. You can't get above the Most High. Even his own words says that I'm a liar and I deceive myself. And so he's such a good deceiver because he in his own right is deceived by his own thoughts. Study to show thyself approved, a workman needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. We have that obligation today, not just for one another, but to share with our community. I know that Pastor Johnson, the last few Wednesday nights, been ministering on spreading the word, getting out, getting talking to people. Let them know what you have. I know that in the environment that we're in today, one thing that is is true is that evil wants to shut up truth. Evil wants to make it so that you can't say anything. I read an article today that there was a young man who swore an allegiance to ISIS and was planning an attack on a Christian church. And the FBI got him before he got everything done. And he pretty much just said this: look, I swore my alliance to ISIS, and I'm here to do whatever I can, and the Christian community is our enemy. Well, you know, Satan isn't my friend either, so I guess I would be his enemy, because I don't believe in what he's promoting. Amen. I believe in what the Word of God has, and Jesus Christ is my yesterday. I can look back, and I was in an auto accident in Geneva, Indiana, come across the bridge. I was a passenger. There was a vehicle stopped in the middle of the road, hit the brakes, and we went off the side of the bridge. I struck on my door where I was sitting, struck the pole. Car wrapped around the pole and slid down the post. It was 14 feet. And I just bumped my head. And I got out. Of course, I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I got out of the vehicle and walked around, and the driver was there, and he was shook up, and he was sitting on the ground. He was worse than I was, and I was where the post was. But I look back, and I can see where God kept his hand on me to bring me to where I am today. I see that. I can look back at my life. I think we all, if we just take a moment, and we can see that there were decisions possibly that we made that could have ended our life, but yet didn't. I think we can all look back and see the grace of God in our lives, because his love for us is deeper sometimes than our love for him. But in searching his word, we find and we begin to grow our love towards him. Hallelujah. You grow your love towards him. When I was sitting and I was reading and I was going through, I don't know, I have trouble reading the Bible from cover to cover, and it's a fault of mine, because I get an idea and I stop and I take off to books unknown over here, and by the time I get back over here, I'm trying to think, well, I need to reread what I just read so I can get back where I was at, and then I get sidetracked again. It's just a fault, and I'm trying to overcome that. I'm not successful yet. The same way you're not successful trying to overcome some of the things in your life. We're all trying to overcome something, but we do it because we come back, and we come back, and we come back, and we come back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We study, we learn a little more, we get a little closer, we go the extra mile to where God needs us to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And my wife is very adamant about my time tonight. So now, don't you keep us. Remember, Brother Johnson is always timely, because I can go on and on and on. You know, I can talk all day about Scripture. We can start a whole new message here in just a moment. Praise the Lord. But the privilege to study God's Word on our own, and then to get together in small groups or however, and then share where God has brought us from and share where God is taking us to. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Oh, I thought Brother Mike was coming down here. Shame on me. Praise the Lord. Amen. If our ushers would come forward, please. know how I would have done it. But... Brother Wayne, would you? Amen. As we are going to the Lord in prayer, let's remember all of those. Amen.